From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A new film by Warner Brothers, directed by Shaka King, produced by Ryan Coogler, covers the rise and untimely death of Fred Hampton, chairman of the Chicago Black Panther Party. Judas and the Black Messiah is a necessary telling of the ways in which the U.S. government ruthlessly crushed movements for Black liberation through the use of informants, infiltration, violence, and murder. The nuanced portrait of Fred Hampton, a charismatic and revolutionary leader played in the film by actor Daniel Kaluuya, is set against the character of FBI informant William O'Neill, played by actor Lakeith Stanfield. Judas and the Black Messiah is out now on HBO Max, and joining us to discuss the film is Rosa Clemente, journalist, producer, political commentator, and scholar activist. She's one of the associate producers for the film and also served as historical consultant. She's also the executive director of the Black Latino Latina Organizing Project and is currently completing her PhD at the W.E.B. Du Bois Center at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. She's a frequent guest on our program. Welcome back, Rosa.
Thank you for having me, Sonali.
So this film was several years in the making. I understand that you've been consulting for it for about 3 years. Unfortunately, most Americans, especially young people, haven't heard of Fred Hampton. Fred Hampton, of course, this very important figure in Chicago politics, but also nationwide. How do you describe who he was?
Fred Hampton was 21 years old when he was assassinated by the FBI, the Chicago police, and other law enforcement and state agencies in this country. Chairman Fred started organizing when he was 14 in the NAACP. This movie shows the last 16 months of his life, and definitely shows once he created the Rainbow Coalition, which he created, not Jesse Jackson, that included the Young Lords, the American Indian Movement, the White Patriots, and other forces that were economically oppressed, is when he became dangerous. I mean, we could say we use the word multiracial organizing. Chairman Fred was doing that before it even had a name to it. And that we always have to remember also that Deputy Mark Clark lost his life in that assassination, that his partner and also Black Panther, Akuan Jerry, was 8.5 months pregnant with his son. And there were other Panthers in that house that survived. So, you know, I think it's important for people to realize too that the Black Panther Party believed in self-defense and also were really a socialist organization. That gets lost in a lot of even throughout Black studies, you know, to talk about that he viewed, as he was right, American imperialism and capitalism as the main things that were keeping people oppressed, but that he also worked with a lot of street organizations and brought them together. When he met Chacha Jimenez, who was in Chicago, was part of a street organization called the Young Lords. And after Chacha met Chairman Fred, Chacha formed the street organization into what we know today as the Young Lords Party.
The film does focus on the capitalist critique that Fred Hampton espoused and the eloquent ways in which he talked about it. It showcased the free breakfast program that the Black Panthers organized in Chicago, the medical clinic they wanted to open, which is quite unusual for a film that's been put out in a mainstream platform to address. Tell me about the making of this film, the people that were responsible for it, how it is through and through, even though it's a Warner Brothers release. This is a film made by African-Americans, by Black Americans for America. And it's unusual for that in Hollywood, unfortunately.
Yeah, this week made 3 years since Shaka King, who is the co-writer along with Will Burson, but the director of the movie, reached out to me. We were in similar artists and organizing circles, and he asked me if I still, or I was in contact with Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., and I said, yeah, I
am. And this
I
is, of
am.
Course, Fred Hampton's son, who's still active and a leader in Chicago?
Yeah, and was born 25 days after the December 4th massacre. He was born on December 29th, 1969. And I said, yeah. And I did tell Shaka right away, a lot of people have tried to make this movie. It's going to require an immense amount of trust and building, not only with Chairman Fred Jr., but also Mother Comrade Akua and Jerry, Black Panther elders that are still alive, the family of Black Panthers. You know, it was a lot, because a lot of other Hollywood forces had tried to make this movie. So, you know, I think my most important role was connecting them together. And then about 2 or 3 months after the initial call from Shaka, we were in Chicago, along with Ryan Coogler, his producing partner, and his partner, Cinzi Coogler, as well as Charles King. You know, Charles King has really been right now one of the few, if not only few, Black executives in Hollywood that are co-producing and also monetarily giving money to these movies that have to be made. You know, Shaka has been very clear that other movies first, other studios were not even trying to hear the pitch. Second, that Warner Brothers at the beginning was not putting, you know, up the money that they needed to make this film, just the quality of it and the reach that it would have as well, pre the movie and post the movie. And Charles King was instrumental in that, you know. So how does this movie get made? You know, it got made because we also, Ryan Coogler directed Black Panther, and this is Ryan's next film. You know, and I think there's something to be said about the superhero Black Panther, but the real ones that are still alive, or their children that are still alive and still have to deal with the legacy of what happened to their parents, whether those parents were assassinated, incarcerated, or are still alive. You know, so it definitely came down to trust and, yeah, and Shaka being very clear on what he was going to do with this movie and what he was not going to accept from the studio system in Hollywood.
Let's watch a part of the trailer of the film Judas and the Black Messiah.
I want to share something with you. Like the masses, I was in awe when I first laid eyes on all the things you are. I heard that speech. I knew we'd make noise. I just thought it'd be in the streets.
The Black Panthers are the single greatest threat to our national security. Our counterintelligence program must prevent the rise of a Black Messiah.
You're looking at 18 months for the stolen car, 5 years for impersonating a federal officer, or you can go home.
What do you want?
Get close to Hampton.
The Black Panthers are forming a rainbow coalition of oppressed brothers and sisters of every color.
Neutralize him by any means necessary.
America's on fire right now. And until that fire is extinguished, nothing else means a damn thing.
Imagine what we could accomplish together.
We can heal this whole city.
You ain't tell me it was gonna be like this. These ain't no terror.
And that is part of the trailer of the new film, Judas and the Black Messiah. My guest, Rosa Clemente, was one of the associate producers on the film. Rosa, the film focuses on not just Fred Hampton, who is, of course, the main protagonist, but the FBI informant. It opens with the story of William O'Neill, a car thief, who was basically pressured into becoming an infiltrator into the Black Panther Party rather than serve time in prison. Why do you think the film focused on this aspect of history?
Yeah, and again, Shaka has talked about this through this whole process, and I agree. I don't think that William O'Neill is as much the focus as it shows that all of our movements were infiltrated a lot from the beginning, and that obviously William O'Neill suffered with his, the choices he made, you know, and there's definitely been a lot of critique from certain circles about humanizing or how people feel he was humanized, you know, and I think we always have to keep our mind on the bigger picture, you know. What he did was wrong. In our circles, we call that snitching. Like, you're not supposed to be able to come back from that. He struggled with his demons, but also that the state went after him as well. You know, he had committed what we would consider petty theft. And, you know, they found an opportunity to stop the rise of the Black Panther Party. And although Chairman Fred was the leader of the Illinois chapter, at that point, we all know that the Black Panther Party was flourishing, especially post the assassination of Dr. King in 1968. You know, so I think everybody looks at it a little bit differently. I tell people this is a movie. It's not a biopic. It's not a documentary. It shouldn't have taken 50 years, not to only talk about Chairman Fred in this mainstream light, but to talk about all the young people, and that all these people were incredibly young. I mean, for the government to come up with a plan to assassinate a 21-year-old and also assassinate his wife, I mean, his partner at that time. Like, Aku and Jerry was not supposed to survive that shootout and certainly not supposed to have given birth. And I do want to shout out Dominique Fishback, because she is the main woman in the movie.
Right. The film doesn't just focus on the two men, Fred Hampton and William O'Neill. It's also a love story between then Deborah Johnson, she's now Kua and Jerry, and Chairman Fred.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that was really important, seeing that play out, seeing Mother Kua meet Dominique and meet Daniel and ask them at a meeting, like, why do you want to do this? What research have you done? And in fact, Dominique, there's a beautiful moment where she reads a poem, and her character reads a poem to Chairman Fred. And Dominique, the actor, is very young, from East New York in Brooklyn, wrote the poem herself and she asked Shaka, like, wow, I want to write the poem. And, you know, are you willing to add this? And Shaka collaboratively said, yeah. And I think it is important to show love, you know, whether it's romantic love or love for comrades, that a lot of times we don't get to see that. And in fact, one interview that Akua did, she says, you know, I didn't think about it, but watching it on screen, I do go back to that time where we were also immensely in love with each other and were fighting together as revolutionaries and comrades.
The term Black Messiah comes from J. Edgar Hoover, who never actually meets most of the characters in the film. He's shown as this kind of separate but overarching pressure. You know, the head of the FBI who was responsible for these campaigns of terror, played beautifully, I should say, by Martin Sheen in the film. How important is it to remember that history, that it was that vision of J. Edgar Hoover that played out in the most bloody of ways across the country in Black communities?
It is extremely important, and that's why we can use this as a tool to teach younger people about the counterintelligence program. Although it did focus on the Black Panther Party for self-defense, and secondly, then focus on Puerto Rican independistas to crush them by any means necessary, that J. Edgar Hoover started this in his spying and his going after particularly African-American and, at that time, Cuban, Puerto Rican, Mexican activists, comrades, and organizers, that he began that in 1955. And, you know, and he went after Dr. King, and he went after Malcolm X, and he went after people like John Lennon and Billie Holiday and so many artists as well. And it's critically important because, unfortunately, our movements at this moment are infiltrated. We might not know who the infiltrator is right now. Some of us may know who they are, but it's only because the Weather Underground stole those documents in Philadelphia in the 70s that really exposed what all of them already knew, that they were infiltrators. There were people there to disrupt and sow discord, but also someone like William O'Neill gave the apartment, the way the apartment was laid out. William O'Neill did that, and he gave it to the FBI and the Chicago police. And that's why when they went up in there, they knew exactly where Fred would be and Deputy Mark Clark. You know, so
William O'Neill, just to remind our audience, is the person who infiltrated the Black Panther Party for the FBI, played in the film Judas and the Black Messiah by Lakeith Stanfield, who I should say just gives an absolutely incredible performance.
He struggled with that. He talked about it. You know, he thought he was going to play Chairman Fred. That's the part he wanted to play.
Huh.
He ended up playing William O'Neill. And he's talked about that post production of the film, which wrapped up actually before all these protests this summer. So in a way, it worked out when it came out, because production wrapped up in October 2019. But Lakeith has spoken about needing to go to therapy, you know, and to see Daniel, Dominique, and everybody who played, they were very serious about their research. I mean, a lot of them spent a year just reading up on the Black Panther Party for self-defense and having conversations with other people, particularly elders. But, you know, yeah, he struggled with it. He says to this day that he struggled with that. Just like William O'Neill gave his last interview for the Eyes on the Prize documentary series part two. And later on that night, some people say he walked in front of a bus and committed suicide. Some people say that after he gave that interview, the FBI and other forces knew that they couldn't let him live because he would spill even more about what they did, you know. So obviously he struggled with that until the day he died.
And the film shows actual clips of the real William O'Neill speaking about, from that Eyes on the Prize part two that aired on PBS, speaking about the role that he played. And you can see the struggle even in his mind. Let's go back to Fred Hampton, and in particular now his son, Fred Hampton Jr., who Kua and Jerry was pregnant with when Fred Hampton was murdered by the state. How is Fred Hampton Jr. carrying on his father's legacy today in a way that links to contemporary movements for racial justice, the Black Lives Matter movement, social justice, economic justice?
You know, Fred has been carrying that work since he was born, before he even understood that. There's something that Fred always says that strikes me. He said, the first time I felt the cold, hard steel of a gun was when I was in my mother's womb. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's lived that for over 50 years, and he has called it a blessing and a burden. But from what I have known of Chairman Fred for over 20 years of knowing him, is that he is 100% committed to the struggle, the revolutionary struggle, even if it puts him on odds with other Black and brown folks. He was very clear that the house that he now lives in with Mother Comrade Akua needed to be saved, because that's the house that his father grew up in. And one of the most important things about the movie is, because of the movie, the house was finally saved from foreclosure tax citations, including many citations from the Chicago police, and it will be turned into a museum and community center, and hopefully as well get landmark status, which puts it on the registry for the national parks. And anybody who's traveled or knows the national park system, that's where we see a lot of our history, at these homes, you know. So for all the, some of the critiques, which I had to kind of just spend last 2 weeks, like, read all the good stuff, I tell people that house is saved. It could have been demolished, because they are trying to demolish homes of so many of our ancestors. And I was clear that one of the things my role in that was to make sure that that happened, by just making sure that people knew that this house existed and that it needed to be saved. And that happened last Thursday. So it was phenomenal.
So very recently. Well, finally, Rosa, the to me, the the main message from this film was, or one of the central messages was, the ruthless violence from the government. You know, the Black Panther Party, like Malcolm X and many other Black revolutionaries, have been painted as controversial and violent figures in our history, but it was the government violence that far overshadowed any mentions of violent reactions from actual human beings. But the government violence and the brutal, basically, mass killing that took place at the hands of law enforcement, federal and local. Was there ever justice for those murders?
No, I mean, we still have political prisoners and prisoners of war in these prison systems, including Sundiata Okoli, who's 80, survived COVID, survived cancer, and is still incarcerated. Mm-hmm. And we saw Jalil Muntikin recently be released. And within a month, Rochester police arrested him for making a mistake on his DMV identification form. So, like, you know, the government never forgets, and they continue to come after people even two or three generations behind. But the two most important things I gleaned from this movie is that these were young people. Yeah. These were like teenagers.
And they imprisoned Fred Hampton for stealing they claimed he stole $71 worth of ice cream and distributed it to children. And for that, he got 3 to 5 years or something like that.
And that's the thing. When he was out, he would have been facing trial. Unfortunately, he was assassinated. Mm-hmm. You know, and the second thing is that this was an international movement, and that we shouldn't forget that people all over the world, probably a lot more over the world, know Fred Hampton, Mark Clark, Assata Shakur, the Black Panther Party, even more than people in this country. So the international solidarity and resistance is critically important, because Chairman Fred spoke to that, especially against American imperialism abroad.
Well, Rosa, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. The film, again, is out on HBO Max. It's called, of course, Judas and the Black Messiah. It's been very well reviewed. Thank you so much for joining us, Rosa.
Thank you, Sonali. Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Rosa Clemente, journalist, producer, political commentator, scholar, activist. We've been talking about Judas and the Black Messiah, the film that she's one of the associate producers for. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.